Hey, I mean, if you'd get your books. Thanks to everyone that helps with communion. I know Andrew's not here. He's off. They're driving back today. They went to Texas and stuff. But he's coming back today. So thank you for everyone who covered and prepared and helped and did all that. Amen. So page 257. We're going to start out with the title, Holy Spirit Power. The scripture, Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I want you to, before we read, I want you to look at that word veritable. You see that on that first line, veritable? It means true or real, okay? So we're going to just say true, okay? Thank you. Okay, y'all ready? Okay. No response. That's okay, though, but I know you're listening. Amen. I love you guys. I really do. Jelaine and I love you. When we appreciate y'all. It says, the power of the Holy Spirit is the true lifeblood of the believer. There is no greater companion, no greater power source, and no greater source of comfort than the person of the Holy Spirit. He is not just a secondary substitute for the absence of a physical Jesus. He is our promised comforter, our continual guide, and an unwavering sanctifying agent. While he is associated with wind, oil, and water, he is none of these. He is, in fact, the third person of the triune God, living on the inside of every truly born-again believer. At salvation, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the person of Christ. But there is also an opportunity for every believer to have Jesus immerse him into the person of the Holy Spirit. This is a second, subsequent work of God's grace available after the salvation experience that brings power for service, supernatural gifts, and helps the believer in the never-ending challenge of dying to self. Jesus had the Spirit without measure. We can have his presence in our lives to whatever degree we desire. Are you hungry for the Lord? Then ask him for the outpouring of his Spirit upon your person. He will fill you today to overflowing. See, the Holy Spirit came in when you got born again. That's called regeneration. Then now he wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. That's the speaking in tongues of being baptized. You might say, well, is it still for today? Yes, it is. Call out to the Lord. Say, Lord, fill me. Come on, people. We need to be hungry for the things of God more than ever before. Don't let the enemy tell you that it's not for today. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're not good enough for it. The blood of Jesus makes every believer, born-again believer, good enough for it. Amen. That's what God says through his word. And so we got to believe what he says and act upon it. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. I want to tell you a story about a man called Horatio Stafford and his wife. This couple lived in Chicago, Illinois, in the late 1800s. They were a very wealthy couple, very wealthy. They owned real estate throughout Chicago at that time, in the early or late 1871, 73. They had a lot of money. They owned a lot of things, properties. But in the 1870s, it says that the Great Chicago Fire took place. And what happened was that almost just about everything that they owned turned into ash. They were very wealthy, owning a lot of stuff, but almost everything they had turned into ash because it burned acres and acres blocks of businesses in that area. Before the great fire, he and his wife had four daughters and one son. The one son, before the fire took place a year or two before, at 4 years of age, died of scarlet fever. It broke his heart. It went to the inner core of his being, him and his wife. I've never had a child die, but I'm sure that is hard, very hard. You just think of relatives that have died, how hard that is at times. Even though we know they've been born again, they love the Lord, and they're in heaven, it's still the missing of them. Well, Horatio and his wife decided that they were going to go to Jerusalem. They were going to take a trip, and they were going to go and try to set up a mission there as far as preaching the gospel, feeding the hungry, doing all kinds of things like that. They got people to back them up. They were basically going to be missionaries there. So they got their tickets to board the ship. And as they were about to board the ship, Horatio got a notice from someone that there was a business deal that he had to go and take care of. So he told his wife and the four daughters, go to on the ship, and I will go meet you within the week or so. So they get on the ship, and they're riding out and sailing out on this huge ship. And as they're going, you know, here Horatio was getting all the business deals done, that a British ship hits the ship that they were on, Horatio's wife and his children, in the Atlantic. And it says that when they hit, it took 12 minutes for the ship to sink, because it was at least 3 to 4 miles deep, the water. His wife survived, but his four daughters didn't. They all drowned. She gets to the other side, and she tries to get a hold of her husband to let him know that she is okay, but they have lost their four daughters. That comes out to their wealth is gone, their son is gone, and their four daughters are dead. Do you think we have problems? Finally, he gets to go and meet her. And as he's on the ship, it says the captain, knowing who he was, calls for Horatio to come, because they were at the exact same place where the two ships collided and his daughters died. And so he wanted to let them know that this was the place. And as Horatio came out of his room to go and see the captain of the ship, his heart was heavy, not knowing that's the exact place, but he knew it was close. And so the captain tells him, look, this is the place. And as you can probably imagine, his heart was overwhelmed with grief, agony, pain, suffering. This is a Christian that loved the Lord. This is a born-again Christian. He was Presbyterian, but he was a born-again Presbyterian. It says that he went back to his room, heavy, and he starts to write a song, which God put upon his heart. And he writes the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Can you imagine? He pins down the word. It's an old hymn. "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." You might say, how could he say it is well with his soul? Because of what Jesus can do. Him and his wife, they started that mission, didn't stay there, and they came back to America, to Chicago. They had two more daughters and one more son. At 4 years of age, his other son dies of scarlet fever. So here we see the scenario. Fortune gone, three daughters dying, another son passes away, and another son. I mean, just amazing. But his faith was in Christ. His faith was in Christ, people. He can take a bitter situation and make it sweet. Look, we all walk around with scars. Huh? We all walk around with scars in our hearts and in our lives. But you see, we can walk around with a scar, but with the salve of the Holy Spirit upon it. Knowing that God is still in control. I guess I look at it, my life, and I look at his, and I'm thinking, all that he's lost that cannot be replaced. Sons and daughters. Fortune, I guess he can make that again. He can rebuild if you really want to do that. Or move and buy other properties and do what needs to be done. But you see, God can make a bitter place in your heart and in my heart sweet again by the Holy Ghost. He's the one that can give hope where there's no hope, people. He's the one that can mend relationships. He's the one that can bring healing to your body. He's the one that can give you hope when there's no hope. That's the kind of God we serve. Yes, he walked around, him and his wife, with scars. But they also walked around with a testimony that they can stand strong and still live for the King of Kings. We might all think, wouldn't it have been easy for him to get bitter at God? For taking his money, for allowing that fire to start, for having his daughters die and drown, for having his two sons, which were both named after him, die from scarlet fever. But you see, he took the high road, people, and we need to take the high road continuously in our lives. No matter what comes our way, that doesn't mean we don't get hurt or things don't happen to us, but we take the high road and we keep our eyes upon God and what God can do and how he can take a situation and turn it good in a way that will help us to do and to live and to be what God wants us to be. That's the kind of God we serve. Hey, we're wounded soldiers. Let's face it, every one of us in here, we're wounded by the things of the world. We're wounded by people. We're wounded by situations. We're wounded by our parents. We're wounded by siblings. We're wounded by spouses. We're wounded. But I tell you what, we serve a God that can heal those wounds. And that's who we trust. That can make things well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. That's what we look to. I want you to turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 27. It is well with my soul. It doesn't mean Christians won't go through things. And sometimes it's worse than what unbelievers. But you see, there's a difference. We have the God and the King of Kings on our side that will help us to get through. We'll see God in a way that we never saw him before. Through whatever situations, our God is in control. Huh? He is in control no matter what. Acts 27. Well, we're going to start at verse 21. But before I read, I want to just kind of talk about the preliminaries of Paul's life. Paul was in prison and they were taking him to a certain place. And they told, and Paul told this group of men on this ship and the officials, we better not go out right now. And they looked at him and thought in the back of their mind, who do you think you are? You're just a prisoner. But you see, he knew what the Spirit of the Lord was saying to him. Not to go out because something was brewing in that water, which they say it was a hurricane, basically, brewing in that water. They didn't have the technology that we have today to know when something's coming days and a week before or something close. And he warns them, and they don't take his warning. And so this is where we pick up the story. Verse 21. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given you all them who sail with you. Wherefore, verse 25, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. We're going to stop just for a minute here. Here we see Paul as they were in the midst of this great hurricane, people. It says, the verse or two before, it says that they didn't see the stars or the heavens. That means they couldn't see. There was so much clouds of rain. They hadn't eaten a good meal in a long time because of what was happening in that water. And it says that the angel came to him. He stood before Paul and he says, look, I'm telling you, this is what the angel told me. If we stay in this ship, no life will be lost. This is today's version. If we stay in the church, no life will be lost. Now you're saying every church is of God. Oh, Lord, no. But I tell you what, if we stay in the church, where God is, he will protect, he will be, he will move, he will do. And yes, we may go through whatever, but I tell you what, we will have the God with us. Amen. How many people have I seen throughout the time I've been saved and throughout I've been with ministry as they have left the body of Christ and they are become prey to the enemy? And they lose probably their soul and they lose things and their lives are a mess. I mean, severe mess. You might say, well, my life's a mess and I'm in church. Well, thank God you're in church. Because if you're where God wants you to be, that means he will be with you. And I love the way Paul says, he says, for there stood, verse 23, by me this night the angel of God, that means Jesus Christ, whose I am. He's saying, I am his and in whom I serve. But he's telling these everyone on that ship, if you obey what God says, he will protect you. You will not die, but this ship will be lost. Now, you probably asking the question, why didn't God save the ship? People can speculate all kinds of things. But he didn't save the ship. But he gave them specific instructions from the prisoner, Paul, a servant of Almighty God that did nothing wrong, telling them how to keep their lives. Stay in the ship till it's time. My Lord, we have to stay planted where God says we are planted, no matter what. That's why there's so much mess in the church. Talking to somebody this week, I said, you going to church? Well, I don't know. You know, I'm going. And I just want to, and they don't come here. It's like, you just, come on. Jesus is about to come. You know, and I, you know, things happen, okay, but not just every week. Come on now, something's wrong. We really have to be committed to the things of God and the things that God wants and desires. Because as we're committed to what he wants and desires, that means his anointing and his power and his presence will be upon our lives. And they had to stay in that ship. He's telling them the instructions of the Lord. That's why we have this Bible, to give us instructions on how we live. Look. This Bible gives us instructions on how to live. He tells us what is right, and he tells us what is wrong, and there's no gray area. He tells us and gives us instructions, oh, now be careful about this one, about finances. Nobody shouted. He tells us what is right, and he tells us what is wrong, and there's no gray matter. We have to follow what God says for the blessings of the Lord to be upon our lives. That's why we as a church, we tithe. We give more than tithe. That's why we never had to set up a stand in front of a business of any kind and say, please buy these pecan pies so we can pay our electricity bill. We don't want to do that. I don't have time for that. If y'all make a pecan pie, bring it to me. Anyone will put it in the freezer. I can't eat it right now, but we'll put it in the freezer. We'll bring it out on the 17th here for everybody. Oh, by the way, we're planning to bring some Easter candy food. Anybody like Gold Brick? We're going to bring some for that day. So you can eat your crawfish, and it's all hot and everything. You can go and eat a Gold Brick or whatever other food there, desserts there is. But instructions was given by the Holy Ghost. You see, we are born again Christians. Filled with the Holy Ghost, huh? I mean, God lives in us. That means God is speaking to us. Oh, my Lord, huh? We don't walk around like we don't know what's going on. We walk around as children of Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us. Thank you for giving your word unto us, Lord, that we're not staggering around like a drunkard, not knowing which way to go or where to stand. But we're sober in the Holy Spirit, asking God to move upon us and to speak to us and show us things so we can act and do. Because as we act and do according to the Holy Spirit, it's like Jesus is doing it. And we have too many false Jesuses out there. We need the Holy Spirit, people. Like we've never needed Him before. So that we can be led by Him. Paul. And look, God, the angel Jesus, came to him and told him to do. In the midst of the storm. And then when it was happening, he rose up. You see, sometimes God will give you things, and it's not for right now, people. Amen. It could be for a week later, or 2 weeks later, or a month later, or a year later, whatever it is. But He's preparing His people, His army, His wounded people, wounded by the world and the things of this world, but whole by the Spirit of Almighty God. Amen. How can they live when I know what happened to them? You're thinking, the world looks at us and is amazed, people. When I know what they've gone through and they still have a smile on their face. I know what they've gone through and they still have hope in their hearts for what God can do and the soon coming King. He gave them. Now look, I want you to go down to verse 30. Well, no. 27. Let's look at 20 because we need to see this. But when the 14th night was come, that means what, 2 weeks or so? Man, that's a long hurricane, a long storm out there, huh? That means everywhere the hurricane went, the boat was there. Boy, they must have regretted leaving and not staying. As they were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew nearer to some country. Look at verse 30. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship. Now, okay, what was the instructions? Stay with the ship. We have to stay with the ship till He says, Him, it's time to depart. Yes, oh, my Lord. We are spirit-led, spirit-filled, and we need to know what God is saying, and we need to obey what God says. And as the shipmen, verse 30 again, were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea. So they had some boats on the side. You know how that emergency, whatever. They were letting down. I mean, they had had enough. Can you imagine? 2 weeks. I mean, we go through it. It comes and we kind of, oh, Lord, for a day and a half. I mean, you know, these men were not eating like they should because their food was scarce. I mean, they were scared. They were anxious. But yet God was trying to give them a peace and a hope. They didn't see the stars or the sky, the stars and all that for weeks. Because of the clouds and the rain and the storm. And hey, sometimes storms come in our lives that last a long time. We got to praise Him in the midst of the storm. We got to praise Him when the sun's shining, people. No matter what. We lift up our hands in victory saying, Lord, I'm not denying what's happening. See, that's another area. The church gets to a place and try to deny what's happening. No, I'm not sick. You're coughing, you have fever, you can barely move, but you're not sick. I think that's on the borderline of stupidity. Don't you think? It's okay to say I'm sick. He came to heal the sick. I'm sick. I'm not feeling good. Okay. Lord, I claim Your healing power, Lord God, upon my life. Not because of what I have done, but because of what You have done. And I put my faith in what You've done. You know? If you're feeling sick and you're sick, you're sick. Don't deny it. But flip it around and say, Lord, I put my faith and trust in you no matter what. You're my healer. You're my guide. You're my Lord. And I trust you and what you have done for me. And let's read this verse again. Verse 30. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, undercover as they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Verse 31. Paul's coming back. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Thank you, Lord. It says, to obtain God's promises, we must abide by his conditions, no matter what, people. No matter what man thinks. No matter what we think. Because we can come up with some logical solutions to all kinds of things. Nothing wrong with that. But if it's not according to what the Word says and how he says to handle it, well, then it's wrong. We have to follow. You might say, well, how do I know what God's Word says? Get in it and read it. When something happens in your life, you dive into that Word and you find out. Every one of us in here, we're very intelligent. We know how to read. Get in it and read it. Say, Lord, show me. I got a few chuckles. Few smiles. Everybody's smart. Get in there, read it, find out. When something happens to you and you need to forgive, get in that Word and ask God to show you what to do, how to do it, and when to do it about forgiveness. And you go to him and you say, Lord, I want to forgive. I want to do it because your Word says so. But Lord, I'm relying upon your Word and I need your help. You see, that's what he wants. He wants us to remind him of the Word of God. Not that he's forgotten. Jesus is the Word. Not that he's forgotten. But reminding him, saying, Lord, your Word says forgive, and I want to. And I declare I forgive him or her or the situation. But Lord, help it to be manifested in my heart and in my life that I can feel it and I can sense it, Lord. And you see, he's the only one that can break those things of bondage upon our lives. And that's just one little thing. I say little. As we call upon him, stay in this ship. He said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Can you imagine how hard that must have been, people? You're on this boat for 2 weeks. And you're getting close to land, it looks like, what they can see out of all this rain. And they see a little bit of hope. And I know I've gone over a little bit. I'm about to close. And they cut off the ropes to their future. They thinking. But you know, good for them. They cut off their safety. Maybe we need to cut off some safety sometimes. And saying, Lord, I trust you. No matter what. No matter what. They cut off that safety. And let me tell you, that must have put a smile on God's face, huh? Yes, I know they were on the verge to get into that other boat and try to get to that land. But they would have died, people. I'm telling you, they would have died. Because God's word is true. God's word is true. But they cut it off. Now, it says soldiers cut it off. Who they were, I don't know. I wish they would have put their names, huh? Man, you know, Joseph did this, you know. Or Boudreaux did that, you know, something like that. Joseph first, though. Joseph / little Boudreaux, yeah. No. But it would have been nice to have these names, you know, because these guys saved, whoever it was, saved all these men. The mercy of God. Now look at later, latter part, it says this. Look at verse 44. We'll go down to 44, which is the last verse. And the rest, some on board and some on the broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. The ship was, or the boat was destroyed. But they may have hung on to a board of the ship or whatever they had, but they not one died. Now, if you look at verse 3 of chapter 28, they got to the land of Malta. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. It says this, John 10:10, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He couldn't kill Paul on the boat. And let me tell you, God's in control. And even when they got to the land where they weren't even supposed to get to, and they were all safe, here Paul, as a prisoner, was putting wood, and a snake comes out, a viper, a venomous snake, and bites his hand. See, the devil will always try to steal from you. He will always try to kill you if he can, or destroy your life. You need to realize that. We're not playing games. This is not a game. Oh, well, I can get whatever X amount of money out of God. No, 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 no. Now, God will bless. But the enemy's out there trying to destroy what he can destroy, if he can. But this is what we do. We keep our faith in Christ no matter what. Because what did Paul do? He was saved off of the ship. He probably had a board and he floated to the... I'm saying that. Don't quote me. Just saying it. And here we have a snake that bites his hand, venomous. And they all waited for him to die. People are looking at you. They're waiting for you to be destroyed. But they see where God's power is upon your life. And he shakes it off like nothing. See, that's God. Shake off those things like nothing. Yes, the enemy will come in like a flood. But God will set up the standard and say no more. And as he says no more, you are gaining strength with him as the hurricane comes upon your heart and life. The power of Almighty God is making you stronger in the things of God and in the ministry of the Holy Ghost. The power of Almighty God is upon your life. That's how God works. Because you see, there's many things that people need to hear about Jesus. There's a lost and dying world. Your neighbor down the street, a co-worker. People are dying, people. You might say, well, you know, even when you hear people are born again and you go talk to them and you're thinking, it's like you're doubting, you're almost doubting their salvation. Because, but you know, it's not, you know they've been born again, but because of life and things that are happening, that it's just destroying them. And so we have the hope. We can try to shed light on the light they have, saying the cross is the answer. The cross is the answer. The cross is the answer. And what God can do. But it says, but God, and I don't want to leave, but God has come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. Praise God. Amen.